men of LifeGate. Hope you guys are enjoying the Easter season. We're in this series that Jesus spoke words from the cross. And the reason why we're diving into this series is because each gospel writer records different words that Jesus spoke. They spoke them out loud. He spoke them out loud. So they have importance to us as the reader, as the hearer, and we need to understand what Jesus was meaning, what they mean to our lives as well. So this series has just been, for me, very personal as I've really placed myself in those moments at the cross and really tried to hear what Jesus was speaking as he said them and how they impact my life, and then how, in turn, as we're going to talk about today, how do we imitate what he has done as well. So today I have Mr. Dan Dirks with me. So give my hand, everybody, clap for Dan Dirks.
You can take the Mr. off, because okay. I'm just Dan Dirks to my brothers.
There you go. Dan is actually the superintendent of the school here at LifeGate. So Dan, I'm going to let you take the microphone for a few moments, tell the men about who you are, and then we'll dive into our lesson.
That's interesting how you say. I tell people that I get to be the superintendent. Mm-hmm. That this is, the Lord has prepared me for this job. I've been 37 years in education, 33 years in public education, start out as a shop teacher, then became, I went to the dark side, as some people say, and became a high school principal. And then I went, I don't know if it was to the darker side, but I became a superintendent. And that was all in Iowa, in rural Iowa. I tell people that I wandered in the rural Iowa desert for 33 years, so I beat Moses by 7 years, and then I crossed over the Missouri or the Jordan into the promised land, Nebraska.
Nebraska, there you go. And, so have you converted into a Husker fan?
A lot of
Husker fans listening.
Yes. So Iowa State, as you well know at men's, I wear my Iowa State proudly, and especially during football season this year, usually during basketball season, not this year. But I'm a true Cyclone first. I'm actually a Husker second, and then I know I'll get some booze here. I'm a Hawkeye third.
Fantastic. Well, we're so glad that you said yes to having this discussion with me today as we dive into Jesus's words from the cross. And what we're going to talk about today are probably maybe some of the most confusing words as we try to understand them, but also very moving, disturbing, and powerfully haunting words mm-hmm. as he cries out to God yeah. when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so when I was recruiting men to help me with these podcasts, Dan, what was it about this one that made you say, I want to do?
Yeah, this is a really tough one. And I think, I don't know if I've ever felt that God has forsaken me, but if you would replace the word abandon, it's like, where are you, God? Definitely, I've said multiple times, why, to God. And also added, why have you abandoned me? Or at least I felt that I was abandoned.
That's
so,
the question Jesus asked, why?
Yeah.
Why have you forsaken me?
Yeah, yeah.
So this spoke to you more on a personal level as you hear these words?
I've definitely had different experiences in my life where I felt abandoned by God and was wondering why. Why are you doing this?
It's interesting that he says, my God, why have you forsaken me, and not my Father, my Father. Mm. I just thought about that. So I think of times in my life when I felt abandoned. Mm. And my earliest memory was, I wasn't even in kindergarten yet, 4 or 5 years old, and I was dropped off by my mother, one of the people who are supposed to love you the most, at a foster care in the middle of the night. Dropped off, going to a strange room, a strange bed, and not knowing what was going on, not knowing if I would ever see my mom again. Mm-hmm. The days turned to weeks, the weeks turned to months, and just remember feeling alone, scared, frightened, and just unsure of even being loved in that moment.
How old were you, Tim?
I was 4 or 5. I wasn't in kindergarten yet.
Okay.
And during that time of life, and it was just, the one time that I felt abandoned.
I can't imagine.
In my life. So, as we hear these words from Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? And forsaken, you know, really just means to be abandoned or deserted. So Jesus was feeling, obviously, some sense of abandonment in his life as well. So one thing I'm asking each man who sits in these podcasts with me, Dan, is to really just close your eyes and let your senses kick in as you're at the foot of the cross. Place yourself there. And what is it that comes to your thought as you place yourself at the cross? What are you experiencing in that moment?
Oh, man, that's a good question. First, because of who I am and because of the type of person I am, I'm very loyal to my leaders. And so I would feel guilt that why didn't I, as a follower of Jesus or a disciple, do more to keep you from that? I have never experienced the pain that a person goes through when they're crucified. And so I would just be weeping at Christ's feet, wishing I would have done more, done something to reduce the agony, reduce the pain that you are suffering right now for me. And then hearing those words, my God, I'd understand what that meant. And it would just pierce my heart with knowing how you are suffering and experiencing and feeling that loneliness and abandonment, and knowing that I was one of the reasons that you felt that way.
Very personal to you.
Yeah, very personal.
And it should be to all of us, I think, that who read these words, that it should hit us in a place maybe where it hasn't before, as we really place ourselves at the cross and hear this cry, you know, from Jesus, who stayed strong during the torture from the Romans, who stayed and watched in silence as loved ones ran away, who stayed strong during this fake trial that he was in. And then in these final moments, we hear this cry. And what I love about it is what the writer of Hebrews says, is that we do not have a high priest. We do not have a God who was unable to sympathize with us in our weakness. So when we make those cries, when we cry out, my God, where are you? I need you. And we don't feel his presence in that moment. We have another person, a high priest, who experienced that as well. And that's so comforting to me.
Amen.
And as we think about Jesus's cry for help and his pain and his fear in those moments, there are certainly things that we can apply to our lives as we imitate Jesus and his cry. And first is that he knows what it felt like. He knows what it felt like for to be abandoned. And that we have a person who understands that and experiences that. We can go and do what Jesus did. And really, my God, it's a prayer. He is praying to God, who is his heavenly Father, his loving Father. And as we feel those moments of abandonment, we can have trust and hope that there is somebody even greater who experienced that as well.
Amen.
What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I know that Scripture has said that Jesus was fully God and fully man. And I'm going to put myself back into the place of the people of the time.
Yeah.
All these miracles, obviously, whether it was feeding the thousands or was healing a blind man or a leper or whoever, you would see, okay, this is God's son. So you would experience the fully God. But then the fully man, of course, you know, he's eating, drinking with his disciples. But to experience that pain and that suffering, I can only, I know that in those last weeks or last days, he felt it many times. But the only time that I think that another place in Scripture is right after he was baptized. You know, and he went out in the desert right. and fasted and was alone and then was tempted. And so, again, probably the only two times that you could really see his humanity and being tempted or being suffered for his humanity.
So good, so good. The second thing we learned from Jesus' cry is that sacrificial love is not without pain. It's not without suffering. It's not without feeling something, you know, and in Jesus' case, in this moment, it was a feeling that he had of being abandoned. And it teaches us that purposeful sacrifice costs something. It's going to, if we are imitating Jesus and we are sacrificing for the people, we can expect our sacrifice to cost us something, whether it's time, money, but there's also often an emotional cost with that as well. And a spiritual cost as well that comes with it. We were talking off mic just about the battle that's happening here at the school spiritually. But if you look at the sacrifices that are being made by you as the superintendent, as the administrators, as the teachers that you were saying, just what they are willing to do for the kids here, there's a sacrifice that's happening. And in the midst of that, there's a cost beyond money and time that's emotional and spiritual that comes when we give ourselves to other people and invest in their lives to show them Jesus. You know, when our ultimate sacrifice is for other people that they might come and know Jesus as well, we can expect that there's going to be some type of cost, some type of an emotional loss with that. Have you ever experienced anything like that before?
Well, I can say it now. You can't always say it when you're in the midst of suffering, but I believe that all of those circumstances just make you stronger.
Yeah.
And again, as we was talking off mic, we were talking about the pandemic and how the resiliency of these young children. And as they look back, my prayer is that they're going to be more resilient than ever, but I also believe they will need to be that resilient. And so there is... God will use this pandemic for a purpose. I think it was 5 years ago was when I felt abandoned. I had been assessed by a board of education. I was a superintendent in Iowa. And during my evaluation, I was given probably a B+, which in my second year of being a superintendent, I thought was pretty good, you know, because I was a new superintendent. And within a month's time, something happened, and I believe it was spiritual, but it impacted me in a physical way, and my school board basically flipped from being, you know, that a boy, Dan, you know, pat me on the back, B+, you know, keep shooting for that A, but you're above average, you know, you're doing a really good job. And then it flipped, and basically I was attacked. I was told that I was not liked, I was not appreciated, and basically said that unless I resigned, I was not going to get my contract next year. I was going to be basically let go. And so you could imagine in a month's time what happened to do that. I had a board of like 9 members that was sitting around a table. And they just went around the table, and most of them said something to attack me. And so it was very hurtful, and I felt totally abandoned. I was in the room by myself. I didn't know how to respond. I kept feeling lower and lower and lower and lower. And then really as a follow-up, a quick follow-up to that, it was very hurtful for my family too.
Oh, sure.
But that experience allowed me to come here to find my dream job. And so when I look back, I felt, yet even though I felt abandoned, I felt at peace. And that is because that's what the Holy Spirit can do in you. And even though Jesus had the emotion and I had the emotion, why, God? Why did these people turn on me? I feel abandoned by people, but by you, God, because I was making a difference, I believe, in this school. And so why? And I was really, but then and God doesn't answer me in that moment, but he gave me that peace knowing that he was going to use it for his purpose. So when I was interviewed by Les Beauchamp for this job that I have now, he said two things to me. One, he asked me three times if I could follow. And so I was kind of like Peter after Jesus was resurrected, and it's like, didn't you hear me the first time? And I understand why, because one of my strength finders is belief.
Okay.
And so if I believe in something, will I still follow and submit to authority? So that was really good. But really the point that I wanted to make here is he said something to me that made me weep during my interview, and it was, pain is worship.
Right.
So that's the other part that I want to flip to, is in the rest of that psalm, and I believe it was Psalm 22, because
yes,
it is David crying out to God, where are you at, God? You've abandoned me. Why have you forsaken me? But then that pain is worship.
Yes.
And so when he said that, and he was sharing about when there was the church split, mm-hmm. and he shared emotionally what happened, you know, and where he was at, it really fed me, because I had just been abandoned, I felt, by people, but also by God. And here he was setting me up for this job. And so even though I'm gonna say terminated as a superintendent, I was given a new contract that was my dream job. God knew he had something better for me. I didn't know that when I was saying, why God?
Right.
I didn't realize that.
You still had peace and you still had trust.
I still had the peace and still had the trust, because I knew God had something, but that didn't change the pain.
Absolutely.
It didn't change the torment that I was going through, and that,
yes,
I saw my wife and my family going through. It didn't change those things.
Two things that you bring up that I didn't think about before was that when we feel abandoned, it often impacts more than just us.
Amen. Yes.
It extends to those who love us the most.
Which hurts sometimes even more.
Absolutely, when you see that. And so when you hear Jesus crying, you know, it makes me wonder, how did God the Father respond to that as well? It just makes our thoughts go a little bit deeper. So thank you so much for that clarity and sharing that the impact of our feeling of abandonment impacts more than just us. And then you also referenced Psalm 22, which when Jesus was crying out, he was referencing the first verse of that, my God, why have you forsaken me? A Psalm of David. And so the last thing that I think we learned from this cry of Jesus is that during our times of feeling abandonment, we pray, we praise, and we worship. You said pain is worship. And I think that's what Jesus was doing. You see, in Psalm 22, although it begins in a dark way, it ends with this great hope through it. In verse 24, it says, David is saying, he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened for his cry for help. So in our feeling, in our sense of abandonment, there's also a great hope that we have as well. And that's in verse 24, that the one who hears our cry, God, has not hidden his face from us. Okay. Jesus would have known that as he is praying and worshiping this psalm. And as we understand that, our sense of abandonment becomes more than just the sense that God has left us. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to go to God and say, why? But in the midst of that, we still have this trust and hope that the Father who loves us the most has not abandoned his Son, for he has not despised him or scorned him in his suffering, and he has not hidden his face. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today, that and sharing your thoughts, such great thoughts that I think are going to impact the men greatly as they listen to this and as they have conversations around their tables, which we do have some questions for you as you think about and dive into your table time. Has there ever been a time that you have felt abandoned? And if you're willing to share that and be upfront and open with the guys, be transparent, that would be good. And how did you cope with that feeling of abandonment? Did you cry out? Did you feel alone? And when you hear this cry of Jesus, what are your initial thoughts? Is it that, wow, God was just really absent from him? But then you hear the rest of the story and the rest of the psalm, which the people around the cross at that time would have heard, the Jewish people would have understood. And then when we think about imitating Jesus and sacrificing for others, are there people who we need to be sacrificing for who feel abandoned by God right now? And are you willing to imitate Jesus in that moment and show them the love of the Father? Are you willing to be willing to go and sacrifice so that they may know God and have a relationship that takes them beyond just that moment of feeling abandoned to a life of love and eternity with the Father? Any parting thoughts, Mr. Dirks?
Yeah, I think the only thing is that as children of God, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And so you have that ability to feel that peace. I would say in the moment of anguish, or abandonment, it's very hard to worship God.
Yes.
There are some people that I know that can, but I would say that, and as you look back, make sure that you thank and worship God for that experience, and then also ask, what has that experience done to make you a better servant of the Lord Most High?
Awesome. Great thoughts. All right, we love you guys. I hope you have a great evening. I look forward to talking to you next week.